Good morning. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Very warm welcome to you this morning, and welcome to those who will be rocking up in an hour's time when they realise that they forgot to change their clocks, although now they all kind of do it themselves, it's a bit harder to forget. Very special warm welcome. If you don't usually worship with us, we're really pleased to see you here, and anyone watching online as well. Just a few notices this morning, you'll be pleased to know, after last week's mega edition. We won't be meeting for prayer this evening, so don't try and log on. There won't be anything to log on to. But next Sunday evening is when we start the Alive course. So that will be in the church next Sunday evening, if you want to make a note of that. Advance notice as well of a church meeting straight after the service on April the 28th. I know a lot of us have been praying in our small groups, in our in-person prayer meetings, in our church members meeting about people joining the leadership team. And so Diana and Graham would like to nominate Lawrence to join the elders, and that will be the church meeting to vote on that on the 28th. Lawrence is here, and you've got a whole month to interrogate him and get to know him if you don't already, but that can't be many people, I don't think. We haven't got Kids Club in its usual form this morning, but there are crafts out there that I will be going out to do with the children just for a short time. So, we'll go out straight after the quiz, right? So when your quiz gets to the end, follow me and we'll just be through the doors there, okay? So, a reading from Luke chapter 24. Verses 1 to 12. Very familiar words, but incredible words. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the Thursday be raised again.' Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened."
It is finished. But it's only just begun. Jesus changed the tempo, switched the beat, marched to his father's drum. He showed kindness to rulers and rebels. He gave hope where hope was lost. He's uniting all things through him, held together by the cross. He modeled the power of prayer, a fan for us to flame our hearts into a furnace, consecrated by his name. It is finished. And that means love has won. Friday came and went, and now Sunday has come. the day of new beginnings, renewed vision, renewed life. Death has been defeated. Live in the resurrection light. Soak in the new sunrise, the warmth, the light, the glow. The divine in reach for all, the old order overthrown. It is finished, but the story isn't done. Let's live this grand adventure, a new dance has begun. So tear apart your curtains, roll away your stone, dust away the cobwebs, Christ has taken up his throne. Can you feel the rhythm? Make his habits your heartbeat. Let's live out the wondrous story, let's take it to the streets. To love and welcome all, to serve all who are in need. His resurrection power fueling us, for he is risen indeed.
Lawrence is going to lead us in our time of sung worship now.
I invite us all to stand. Let us stand and praise the Lord.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue.
Please be seated.
Good morning, everyone. How lovely to be here together this morning. We're going to have a quiz now. Would you believe it? So, you may believe the things that are on the quiz, and maybe you don't. If you believe them and you think it's true, I'd like you to put your hands on your head. If you don't believe it, keep your hands firmly in your lap. Okay, let's see if we can get this to work. Oh. That was a giveaway. We'll use this as a trial. An octopus has more than one heart. Is this true? You should all have your hands on your head if you read the answer, because it is true. An octopus has three hearts. Right. Galapagos tortoises can go up to a year without water or food. True or false? It's true. They also sleep a lot, up to 16 hours each day. Okay, three. A cheetah is the fastest animal on the planet. True or false? It's false. They're the fastest land animal. A cheetah has recorded land speeds of 61 miles an hour, but a peregrine falcon has recorded speeds of 200 miles an hour. Isn't that amazing? Okay, question four. Shark babies eat each other in the womb. True or false? It's true. As soon as the embryos develop teeth, they attack and eat each other. Okay, number five. Sloths take 2 weeks to digest food. True or false? It's true. They have the slowest digestion of any mammal. Number seven, monkeys have the closest fingerprints to humans. True or false? It's false. Koalas have prints which are almost indistinguishable from human prints. Would you believe it? Number eight. People are born with more bones than they have in adulthood. True or false? Okay, that's true. Babies have 300 bones at birth, but closer to 200 when they become adults. Number nine. The human body is 20% water. True or false? It's false. The human body is about 60% water. Okay, number nine. A human brain is the organ with the most fat. True or false? It's true. About 60% of the human brain is fat. Number 10. The lowest temperature recorded on Earth is approximately minus 89 degrees C. Is that true or false? It's true. A temperature of minus 89.2 degrees centigrade was recorded in Antarctica in 1983. Would you believe it? Number 11. Wimbledon tennis balls are kept frozen before a competition. Is that true or false? It's false. They're kept at 68 degrees Fahrenheit to keep the bounce consistent for competition. Okay. And number 12. Charlie Chaplin entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest and won. Is that true or false? It's false. He came third. There are two more people who looked more like him than he did himself. Would you believe it? And that is the end of our quiz. Some of those things are believable. You can pray for you before you go. Yes, let's just pray for these children as they go out to do something out in the lounge area. So, Father God, we thank you for the children who are here this morning. We thank you for the excitement on this special day. We pray that you will bless them now as they go to do something exciting and something wonderful in the lounge area. Bless them now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have heard the reading for today already, but we are now going to watch it again, have it again, through a little video. The video is called Believe the Women.
Day 3, Believe the Women. The story of the day that changed everything. One Friday, Jesus, the revolutionary rabbi, was led out to die in a state-sanctioned execution. This is the story of what happened next. It's the story of those who believed and those who could not. It is a story about the women. It's a story that begins at the end. Very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance, so they went in, but they didn't find the body. Two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? Jesus isn't here. He is risen from the dead." The women rushed back from the tomb to tell Jesus' 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Some of the men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone. Just as the women had said.
So, when we were doing the quiz, you all believed my answers. I believed those answers because I got them off the internet. I haven't checked to see if any of those are really true. You can go away and do that if you want. But today we are exploring something that is true. Something that some of us have experienced for ourselves. Most of us have experienced for ourselves. But let's just think about it for a moment. I wonder how many of you were up really early this morning before it got light. Perhaps some of you went to the sunrise service on the Gogs. I really like that sense of being up early on Easter morning when it's dark. I have to confess that I wasn't this morning. But being up early on Easter Sunday morning and watching the sunrise is really special. And in doing that, we can identify with those women who went to the tomb on that third day, early in the morning, before dawn. And as the sun rose, they saw something and experienced much more than they had expected to. And let's think about them. On Friday, they had seen their beloved Jesus crucified. They saw his broken body taken from the cross, wrapped in cloths, and laid to rest in a borrowed tomb. They saw a huge stone rolled across the entrance. They knew that his body had not been anointed with oils and spices, as was the custom of the day, but it was already late, and the following day was the Sabbath, and there was nothing they could do until Sunday, the third day. So here they are, on the third day, on their way to the tomb, before daybreak, with their jars of oils and spices. How did they feel? They were grieving. They were desolate. Their hearts were full of sorrow and pain. They were anxious, wondering if they would be able to roll the stone away to anoint the body of their Lord. And maybe they were concerned that they wouldn't be able to do it without any help. They were not going to the tomb because they expected Jesus to be alive, because they knew he was dead. They were going because they wanted to see him again, even in death. They were going because they wanted to anoint his body and give him the honour and respect that is due to the dead. They were going because they wanted to do this one last thing, this beautiful thing for the one they had loved. And we too can go to the tomb in our imaginations, taking our sorrows and our pains and our anxieties. But unlike those women, we don't go there expecting to do something for Jesus, but recognizing that the resurrected Jesus does something for us. And what he does for us is a wonderful exchange. We give him all our sin, all our greed, our selfishness, our willfulness, our rebellion, our stubborn hearts. And Jesus gives us new birth, new life in return. What a glorious exchange. Perhaps you think it's a bit of an unfair trade. Jesus takes all the rubbish, all that is dirty and shameful, all that wrecks lives and damages our spirits. He takes it on himself and gives us freedom. Jesus deals with sin forever. He defeats death. He has the victory, and we just reap the benefit. He does everything and we do nothing. We get everything and he gets nothing. Surely we are not the only ones who get something good out of this exchange. By no means. In setting us free from the power of sin and death, Jesus gets us. Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us, For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you hear that? He endured the cross for the joy set before him. And what was the joy set before him? You are the joy, and I am the joy. What does Jesus get? He gets us. The ones on whom his heart has been set from before the beginning of time. Jesus has opened a way for us who believe in his name to become his children. And he delights in developing a relationship with us and seeing us flourish and grow under his care in the shadow of his wings. But let's go back to the women for a moment. On arrival at the tomb, as the dawn is beginning to break, they see that the stone has already been rolled away. Yet when they enter the tomb, Jesus' body is not there. What is going on? The words in the NIV version in verse 4 give us to understand that these women stood there wondering about this. But I think the word wondering doesn't really convey how they must have felt. Some translations use the word perplexed or bewildered, which I prefer. But the original word in the Greek describes a high state of confusion and anxiety. And I can imagine they probably felt real shock at what they saw. There was no broken body to anoint, but an empty tomb and folded grave clothes. It was totally unexpected. And that surprise was soon superseded by the appearance of two angels in glittering apparel, a fearsome sight. And what do the angels say? Verses 5 to 8. Now, I imagine that because the women had their faces on the ground at this point, the angels spoke to them slowly and carefully, with gentleness, to ensure that these women heard and understood. This is what they said. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered. Sometimes we have heard Jesus' words to us, spoken through scripture, or through the Holy Spirit working in someone else to bring words of prophecy over us. But then sometimes these words get lost somewhere in our memory until something happens that prompts us to remember and brings them back to life. Oh yes, I remember. Stories of Jesus told to you when you were young. Stories of how he came to seek and save the lost. Stories that tell of how much you are loved. Stories that had been buried, but now spring back to mind. I wonder what it might take to help you remember. For the women, it took an angel. They were reminded of Jesus' words, and they remembered that he had said these things. But could it be true? Could they believe it? Jesus had told them it would happen, and now an angel explains that it has happened. Jesus is alive. I wonder what it would take for you to believe this in its entirety. Would you believe an angel? You may say, of course, but would you? Mary, the mother of Jesus, believed the angel's message that she would give birth to God's own son. But her cousin, Zechariah, had not believed the angel's message about his offspring. Joseph and the wise men believed the angel's messages to them in dreams. But when angels told Abraham that Sarah would have a baby in her old age, she did not believe it. She laughed at the ridiculousness of the idea. But the women believed the angel. And they rushed off obediently and in great excitement to tell the disciples everything that had happened. And make no mistake, this was and is a story that is worth telling. But the disciples didn't believe the women. What a ridiculous notion. It's totally absurd. It's nonsense. A story of a dead man coming to life again. A story of empty tombs and angels. It's unbelievable. Yet, however unbelievable it may seem, the women believed it and told it. And Peter needed to see for himself. Could it possibly be true? Could it really be true? He saw and was amazed. And hope began to rise that this story is not just a fantastic story, but an incredible truth. Jesus is alive, just as he said. So where do we fit into this story? Is it a truth that we believe? Is it a truth you believe? Do you believe the women? Has the story of a risen Saviour become your story, my story, our story? And if we believe it, what do we do with it? We accept the story. We accept the risen Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and we become his followers. And then we tell the story. And when we tell this story of the gospel of Jesus, the story of a God who loves us so much that he died in our place and was raised to life again to set us free from the power of sin and to give us everlasting life with him, to many, the story is still unbelievable. Some, like the women, will believe the story, but many will reject it as nonsense. And some will even reject those who believe it as fanciful fools. But some will be like Peter, going to see for themselves. And if you are one of those who are looking for truth, maybe as you look for the risen Jesus, he will reveal himself to you as he did to those early followers and as he does to each one of us today. Today, on Easter Sunday morning, we celebrate the risen Jesus. We celebrate his victory over sin and death. We rejoice that he is alive and that in him we too can have life in all its fullness. Because although we speak easily of an empty tomb, these are not empty words. And the tomb was not empty. The dead body had gone. Jesus had been raised to life. But the tomb was full. It was full of his love and life. And that's what we celebrate too. Today, we bless his holy name and give him the praise and we give him the glory. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Just going to have a moment while the drummers change over. And Chris is going to join us, Chris Butler. And I think we all know that a few months ago, Chris was in hospital with quite a significant infection within his leg. And he phoned me up a couple of times whilst he was in hospital and said when he was home he would bring his diary and he would be here on Easter Day and contribute his gift and his talent of drumming. So we praise God, I think, for the healing and for the witness that Chris had in that busy ward at Adam Brooks Hospital as the doctors and nurses cared for him. Yes. Are we ready? Praise him on the trumpet was requested by Chris. So let us stand and rejoice as we continue to praise and worship on this Easter day.
Hallelujah.
just thank you for Chris, and we thank you that you were with him when he was in hospital, and he's been able to give and his gift to you this morning. Praise you. You are a great God. Amen. Please be seated.
So we're going to pray now. So I encourage you to join in with the response. So at the end of each section, I will say, Lord of Life, and you can respond with, hear our prayer. So that's Lord of Life, and then hear our prayer. Loving God, this is a day that changes the way we think, the way we act, the way we live, that changes everything. And so we pray now for change in our world, in all those places where there is human need. We pray for the poor, the homeless, the sick and the hungry. Lord of Life, hear our prayer. We pray for the victims of war, for refugees, for divided communities and countries. Lord of Life, hear our prayer. We pray for the sorrowful, the fearful, the troubled in heart and mind. Lord of Life, hear our prayer. We pray for the oppressed, the persecuted, the imprisoned, and the exploited. Lord of Life, hear our prayer. Living God, may the truth of Easter break into each and every one of these situations, bringing help and healing, strength and support, comfort and courage, hope and help, faith and freedom, love and life, the change that you alone can bring. Lord of Life, hear our prayer. Amen.
Are you coming back in for communion?
Yeah. Is it now?
We're going to come to our time of communion, but we're just wait for a moment. The children are going to join us back in. This is a time of family communion today on Easter Day. We're going to say together the words that are in bold. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. This is his story. This is our song, Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it, and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." This is our story. This is our song, "Hosanna in the highest." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and for all the world. This is our story. This is our song, "Hosanna in the highest." May we and all who share this food offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Are there some servers today, if you'd like to come forward? Jesus said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. We will eat the bread as it is served to us. We've got some people upstairs, Chris. Thank you. Jesus said, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." We drink this cup to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one cup. We will retain the cup to drink together when all are served as a sign of our unity. We drink together and remember all that Jesus has done for us. We pray. Almighty God, thank you that our faith in life and hope in the future are based firmly on the wonder of your love and the miracle of your resurrection power, through which you are able to make all things new. Giver of life, hear our prayer. May the surprise of Easter burst afresh into our hearts, revealing new possibilities to life and a new dimension to your love, giving new meaning to each day and every moment, bringing new strength and opportunities, offering new hope for the future and renewed purpose in the present. God of the unexpected, hear our prayer. Amen. He is not here. He is risen. Go in the peace of Christ. Alleluia. Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Alleluia.
Songs of great celebration. The first one, Low in the Grave, really is two sections, starts fairly slowly, and then we go for it with the chorus. Yes, I think Stuart is aware, so a nod. Let us stand together and celebrate.
Oh.
wonderful song. Would you just like to take a seat for a moment? This morning I was handed a poem that has been written by one of the members of our congregation. And I'd just like to read it to us before I pray the blessing. The poem is entitled, "The Joy of My Salvation Restored." I bow at the foot of the cross in shame, and for my sins I weep again. Can God's mercy be so wide, all forgiving, all forgetting? I look into Christ's glorious face and see such mercy, love, and grace. Lamb of God, who died for me, I'm justified, I'm purified. He, God's perfect sacrifice, paid in full my sin's dire price. Anguish ceases, assurance releases, washing over me like a flood, cleansed by his redeeming blood, shed for love of me. Now believing, simply receiving, tears of sorrow, shame and sadness turn to tears of joy and gladness. As my burden falls away, at last I see I'm free to be free, and my spirit soars and sings like a skylark on hovering wings, held on a fountain of joy. And so we come to the end of our time together this morning. And Lord, on this Easter morning, may our hearts be filled with joy and our spirits be lifted. May the message of Easter inspire us to live with faith, hope, and love each day. Help us to reflect the light of Christ in our actions, words, and interactions with others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So before you go off to your Easter celebrations, do please stay and have a coffee with us in the hall at the back. We would love to see you there. And may you have a very blessed Easter.